Economic Development Meeting, Tuesday, January 4th, 2022, at 6 p.m. We have in person myself, as well as Alderman Funkhauser, Alderman Soling. In Zoom, we have Alderman Wiltshire. So today, we are going to go over the minutes from December 7th, 2021, for approval.
I'm good.
Oh, sorry. We got Alderman Cook here as well. All right. We are good on that. Moving on to EDC 2022-01, Building Permit Report for November of 2021. Mr. Rados.
November, we issued 90 new permits total, 23 of them were single family homes, and 5 of them were for single family detached. That was one town home for DR Portland. Yeah, and that was a total of almost $4.5 million of construction value added in the community in November. So,
how did that compare to 2020?
Oh, thank you for 2020 pretty well. We actually issued, we only issued in 2020, we only issued 2 single family homes, and then there was 14 single family attached. So that those are all 4 units. So it was actually, we're up slightly, and for detached, and then down slightly for attached homes. So yeah, and the permit revenue was by half.
Okay. Do you have any questions for that? All right, you're still on deck, Mr. Rios. EDC 2022-02, Building Inspection Report for November of 2021.
All right, so November we did 778 inspections. We kept a decent amount of those in-house. We had also 200 of those were EI inspections. November is when we see a big push for trying to rush in finals before the weather turns, so that we can give them a real CO instead of a temporary CO, where we have to actually charge them somewhere between $2,000 and $8,000 depending on work they have outstanding. So that's why we see a lot of engineering inspections in November and in December this year, to help with my other light bills. All right, anybody have any questions with that? Moving along, EDC 2022-03, Property Maintenance Report for November of 2021.
All right, we heard 9 cases in the property maintenance hearings. If you're looking at the thing there, the standout one is the property that says adjacent to 402 Liberty. That's just to show you guys the index better. That was liable $2,550 for weeds. That's a property that has been probably heard from. It's pretty much on every single one. Wherever we have, because of our 10-day notice and then 35 days from the citation for we hear it, it's usually every month. It's just been chronically in violation. That's the big standout. Oh, and the honeysuckle one also, I apologize. That's if you're in tune with some of the Joel, our former alderman, that's a parcel in that area of his vicinity, all the neighbors are having issues with it. So we use, that's another one that's on every single month. We're out there. We do the same thing. We had that property was heard again last night, I believe. Yeah, last night. So it was found liable again, and it's $550 fine this time. So it's just that's fencing issues, trash issues, and a bunch of other random stuff.
Are these does it get kind of sensitive and touchy with these people, or do they just not show up, or it's when they're blowing it off like this?
If they do show up, it does tend to get a little bit upset about it. But my staff is very good about trying very hard to communicate with them and explain what needs to be done and work with them. I mean, if a homeowner, if it's a money issue or anything like that, we'll work with them as best we can at the time. The honeysuckle one, that's the one that has told everyone not to step anywhere near the property. Our inspectors don't even go out there in front. We do all of our documentation from the rear or from the other side of the street because there's been some conflicts and altercations with this
wondered about that.
We do try very, very hard. We can, if anyone ever has any questions, we choose. We document everything we do.
Perfect. Anybody else have any questions regarding the property maintenance report? All right. Moving along, we've got EDC 2022-04 Economic Development Report for December of 2021, and I'll hand that out to Lynn.
So you have the report in your packets, and it's pretty much everything I know. We spoke, I also spoke with each of you over the weekend about Bright Farms, which is going to be public hearing next week. And I have the Williams ad here, which maybe I can take a moment to introduce them. I'd like to say a couple words about your project, because that's my report.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I'm Mike Williams. This is my dad, Ed. We are our company is the Williams Group, local real estate investment company. We have residential and commercial properties spread primarily through Yorkville, Montgomery, and Oswego, and Sherman Grove. Very excited with this investor tools property as we're calling it. We see a lot of potential there for future redevelopment. And we've called Yorkville home for 22 years now. So I grew up here. I went to school right across the street. So I've seen how far it's come, and I really see it only continuing to get better in the future. And we're just really looking forward to being part of that future growth and working together with all of you to make it happen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it? Perfect. Anybody have any questions for Lynn and the economic report? Got a lot of good stuff coming down the pipeline, so we're really excited about it. Thank you, Lynn, for all that you do. We certainly appreciate it. You've done a fantastic job, so thank you very much. All right, EDC 2020. EDC 2022-05, foreclosure report and population projections and updates.
That would be me. So this is just an informational item for the committee. It's our annual foreclosure report. And then we also, since the new census came out, and we continually update our demographics, we're kind of combining that as well. It's just an update. So foreclosures this year, we started tracking foreclosures many years ago, obviously when it was a larger problem. We went down from, in 2020, there were 19 total foreclosures, and this year there were 11. And I'll really briefly go over the numbers. For the most part, COVID impacts on foreclosures. At beginning of 2020, we saw pretty normal numbers for foreclosures. And then when March hit, the CARES Act was passed, and there was a forbearance period on foreclosures. People who couldn't pay their mortgages could apply, so they weren't getting foreclosed on, which we saw then only two for the rest of 2020. That was supposed to end in December of 2020, but it was extended twice, with it ultimately ending in end of July of 2021. So if you look at the monthly foreclosures, you can see in August, September, October, November, you know, we start to see a couple here and there. Not a large amount, but we that is when that forbearance period ended, we did start seeing foreclosures again. Overall, in a breakdown in wards, Ward 3 was still had the largest amount of foreclosures. Again, it's a very small sample size, only 11, so... again, not a major trend to see. Subdivision breakdowns, we saw a major decrease in Bristol Bay. And then Fox Hill, everything else stayed about the same in terms of only having one or two. Again, the COVID numbers, the regulations impacted these numbers as well. Property type breakdown, since we are mostly single family. Again, most of our foreclosures were for single family homes. Yes, this year there was one commercial property that was foreclosed on, and then actually no multifamily was foreclosed on this year. So in summary, again, real quick, kind of looking over, are there any trends to be drawn from this? Are we seeing more or less it's going to be another year of us just seeing what happens now. Now that the forbearance period is closed, we'll probably look a little bit more this year, and you know, if we see an uptick, we'll come back and show you these new trends. I will say, looking on a national level and state level, foreclosures have gone up a lot more than in Yorkville. The rate went up 34% as soon as, you know, at that fourth quarter from the quarters before. Illinois was one of the higher ranked states for foreclosures. So again, can't really draw too much. It's great that Yorkville didn't see that kind of rise, but it could be, you know, indicated that we might see a few more coming here in the near future. And then overall, if you look on the annual comparison, obviously we're way down from 2009, 2010, 2011, those kinds of numbers. Moving on to population projections. So like I said, staff on a monthly basis takes building permit information data, and we compile it into a spreadsheet for population projections. And these projections are good to have for long-term planning, short-term planning, understanding finances and how development is going. It also gives us an understanding on where future needs may be. Oh, Raintree Village saw a lot of development. Grand Reserve sees a lot of development. So it gives us an idea of where population's growing, resource allocation in the future of where they might be. So understanding the trends over the next 5 years is really important to staff, so we can make sure we're directing our attention in the right areas. Overall, we saw an increase, I think, and actually we got, in between when I wrote this memo, we got four more houses, so I believe we're at 409 units for 2022. That's single family, duplex, townhome, multifamily. So that's 409 new dwelling units. Also, the census 2020 came out, so we started anew right there, and I believe the number was 21,533. So that's where we're gonna start at 2020, and then we took the 409 this year. Typically, most single family homes, we still multiply by 2.9 people per household. Townhomes are a little less. All the numbers are changed. It's in a spreadsheet and kind of calculates itself at this point. So in general, this year, we're looking at around 22,700 people. And then there are future projections over the next 5 years. These are also based on what is already platted. We have a lot of vacant lots that, over the past 10 years from the first recession, that there's a lot of stock. Well, our stock is starting to dwindle. Like I said, Raintree has been developing a lot. Grand Reserve is developing a lot. So a lot of our shovel-ready plats for development are starting to go down to the point in 2023, 2024, there's just not as much left to project, which means most likely if development trends continue, people will come in and ask for annexation agreements or plat old subdivisions that are already annexed, or create new greenfield development. So our projection that by 25, 26 we'll still be under 25,000 is probably a little too conservative, but it's not necessarily that we'll go 300, 400, 500 next year and keep going. So for the most part, I think staff thinks by 2024 we'll probably be in a 25,000 person range for our population. So like I said, this is just, it's something we do. I update the demographics quarterly, kind of send them around to staff so all departments know kind of where we're headed. And take any questions if we have on any of the reports.
Please, does anybody have any questions?
No. So with the housing trend, if the way you run these projections, there's a dwindling amount of actual new residential units coming out each year. So that keeps our target of 25,000. That's out to 6 years, basically, before we did that. But if we kept on trend right now, 500 to 600, we're going to hit that in probably 2.5 years.
Correct.
So something to keep track of in terms of possibly special census down the road in order to work towards home rule. Because once we hit that threshold of 25,000, we can validate it based on how accurate the numbers are that you guys are working with. And now I don't know if you're taking, you know, your calculations on single family just based on the average, or are you actually doing based on bedroom counts, so you get a little more.
It's average based on the census average of a single family
just
home.
Just a general average.
Townhome had it, I think townhome's 2.4, and then it goes from there.
If we could go a little more detailed on a side set of numbers for the next couple of years, that'd be good to just mm-hmm. make sure we're trying to be as accurate as we can. We know townhomes are pretty consistent, but single family, you do a 4 or 5 bedroom home, it's going to be a little different than 3 bedroom home.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of your total population per home.
Yeah.
So, because this is a target that we've been looking at for a long time, this home rule, and we're showing now we're within 5 years of that. If the trends keep, I can see us hitting it in a few years, finally. So, something to look towards. That's it.
Any other questions? EDC 2022-06 Economic Development Consultant Contract.
All right, Aaron's got a nice memo in the packet, and we do have a red line and a clean copy of the contract. It is the same terms generally as the one that was last approved by the city in 2018, including a number of years, 3, and all the terms and conditions throughout except for the rate. Lynn's rate has not changed since 2015 when we approved our first economic development consultant contract with her. So her and I did talk about it, and we felt that a inflationary rate was reasonable. So we did bump it up a little bit, you know, after inflation over this many years. It's much less than the 2.1% that we've got calculated within the memo. That's a change from current to what we're proposing with a dollar increase per hour each year after. So less than 1%. With that, I know Lynn is in the room. If you have questions about her work product or our interaction with her, we can take those questions too. But otherwise, we're happy to answer any questions that you may have.
I only have a couple of comments on the contract. I know Lynn's done a lot in the past couple of years, and over the years in general, she's done a lot. But the one thing that I know is that this is a hourly contract. Basically, we've got a minimum on it for 15 hours a week, so that's the 700 and some hours annually. But I look at this at the end of the year when we go through this, and I've pulled it a couple times as to what the annual fee is, and I know there have been a couple times it goes, you know, significantly above that because of the hours that are going in. I really like to consider taking this to a fixed fee contract as compared to an hourly for the services. I know we have two primary benefits to have this as a contract. One, it's not an in-house employee, so we're not paying benefits, we're not paying into the retirement. And the second major benefit to it is that it's not open to open meetings after FOIA. Sorry, not open meetings, but to FOIA. So there's a confidentiality benefit that Lynn has with the ability to negotiate and talk with potential new development coming into town. So that those are the two major positives. So the contract is good in that aspect, but I'd actually be more comfortable now setting this as a fixed fee. I don't know how that would be taken, but it just gives me a little better level of comfort knowing what our exact fee is on that. Because we know what the general reimbursements are because we know that she's got an annual conference in Vegas. So that's the national conference, so we know that that gets done. There might be a couple other smaller conferences I know that used to be done. But I'd really like to see this go to a fixed fee.
We have not discussed that with Lynn directly. It would be something that I would actually talk to the mayor about and then talk to Lynn about, even though Lynn is in the room there. It is something that we have looked at in the past, especially the first time we entered into the contract. It did not come up in 2018. So it's something we can talk about and circle back around everybody if everybody wants us to.
So we probably have what her hours have been for the last couple of years, correct?
Well, yeah.
So we can go back and kind of get an idea of
what that is.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know them off the top of my head. I know that one of the years, you know, there was a lot more work to be done than some of the other years. So I would have to crunch those numbers and pull them and report back if that's what you guys would like.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to acknowledge, though, that I think in the last couple of years, we've asked her to do a lot more stuff than we would have previously. I mean, the grants, just the grant work for the businesses and stuff. I mean, could have been done in development, maybe, but I know how much effort she put into that. And there's still more of that coming, probably, as I understand it. And then with the whole COVID vaccination clinic out there, I think she was the lead.
Spirit.
I just want to acknowledge that she did a lot more than I originally would have thought she was going to do.
And she didn't miss a beat with her day-to-day activities, too, so
right.
I certainly appreciate that. So thank you for all that you do. Perfect. Any other comments? Alderman Blocher, do you have any questions? Solomon?
No, I was just going to agree with Ken. I think the work she did through the grants was above and beyond.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Moving along to EDC 2022-07, the TIF inducement resolutions with the Williams Group.
Great. Chris has got a nice memo in the packet that gives a little bit of information about the property and the resolution itself. Just as a reminder, this is the first step in the TIF process. There's absolutely no obligation for TIF incentives in the future, project incentives in the future, or project development. It basically sets the table based on a request from the developer that they will need TIF assessments in the future in order to develop, and it protects their ability to do that. So we have done these in the past with nothing more than the LLC name, the property address, and location and PIN number. And then we usually will come back around when the developer is ready to submit a plan to the city with a full development plan and TIF ask at that point. So with that, we're happy to take any questions you may have.
Just one little question. So looking at this little map, there's a parcel that's like in between the, I mean, I know they're both small strips.
Yep.
What is that a different owner?
It's ours.
The,
oh, it is?
No man's land there is the actual right of way for, I think it's South Main Street. It extends all the way to the north. Per our previous conversations with the Investor Tools owners over the years, there are many utilities within that right of way. So, unfortunately, it's not as easy as we may have thought at one time to just swap properties or sell that. It would have to be either relocated, which would be very expensive, or we would have to design a subway development around those utilities.
All right, yeah, I'm just curious about that. Okay.
For your point, then, there's probably a good way to incorporate our property into theirs and make use of it, since we actually have a launch there, boat launch.
But the boat launch is in there, Red. Isn't that the boat launch is in part of what their property is?
Yeah, I think it might technically be ours, obscured by the trees, but it's kind of right there on the edge of it.
Yeah, that's why I wondered when you said it was ours. I'm like,
yeah.
That was the only thing I was curious about.
Good question. Anybody else have any questions?
Let's get introduced.
All right. We don't have any old business or additional business. Any citizen comments?
I have a quick question. So, will this going to be on the consent agenda or will it be on the consent agenda? So that I deliver it in over next week.
Oh.
Because I think we've been recently putting them on the consent agenda. Correct?
Yeah, I don't see why. Right.
It doesn't matter. I just want to let them know so that I have an idea what to time for.
I think these things just go on the regular agenda. There may not be any discussion, but at least it's known that it's coming.
Probably it ought to be
on the regular,
just on a regular agenda item.
Yeah.
because I guess that maybe it'll be pulled off of.
True, yeah.
So let's maybe try to stick on the consent.
And let's put it on the regular agenda.
Yeah. I don't think that'll affect it.
No, I don't think so either, but it was good to show the openness on that front.
Yeah, good idea. Okay, perfect. With that, if you have any other questions, then we will adjourn the meeting at 6:25. Thank you guys all for attending. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thanks.